Good evening, this is Rabbi Maevsky. We start a new Chumash today. If we remember what we said last week, but it's very interesting, since we now are finished with the Mishkan and many of the halachos that pertaining to the Mishkan, and that's why we have this interlude basically with the whole Sefer of Vayikra that had to do with the building of the Mishkan. Now we move on. Bnei Yisrael are getting ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. It would seemingly be at this point until we get to Mahalosha after Shavuos. So we lay that when things take a terrible turn, unfortunately. But right now, things are looking up. And now God moves on with them with the taking a census. And we've had the census in Kisisa, but now we're taking another census where we don't need the Machzis HaShekel, because since this is a command from God to take the census, we don't need the Machzis HaShekel to prevent from any Negev. In Kisisa, God is just giving us the recipe. If we want to take a census in the future, it's best to do it with the Machzis HaShekel to avoid any kind of Negev. But now, since it's, when you're doing the mitzvah, that God is spoken, lo yeda davara, nothing will happen bad if you're following a commandment. The census in the Torah this week seems very, we just keep repeating again and again, and it seems very, not to say nonsensical, but it seems almost verbose, too much verbiage he has spent on the census, and what is the real purpose of it. But there are so many messages here in this parsha that are really very central to what Yiddishkeit is all about. And it goes as follows. Bnei Yisrael are told right now to take a census, and Moshe begins. And we see something that's very interesting at the beginning. We know throughout at this point in time, Vayesfu Elov Kol Bnei Levi, and that the Bechorah was taken away from Reuven after the Maaseh Egel and given to Shevet, not the Bechorah, but Levi was given the Bechorah, basically, not the Bechorah, but in terms of being the Meshar Sei Hashem, to carry the Aron, and so on and so forth. And the Bechorah was given by Yaakov, was given to Yosef in terms of Pishnayim, and as follows. But when they take the census, God is still giving Reuven a second chance. However, he's giving him a second chance to carry his own Degel, because while we think that each individual tribe had their own Degel, that's not necessarily true. But the east, west, north, and south tribes, the ones that were carrying the banner for the three Shvatim, they had their Degel. It was Degel Reuven and Degel Yehuda and so on and so forth. And this is Degel Ephraim. And these were the golem that they had. Each one had a different color so that everybody would know. And it's very important that everybody, as I said, is very important to know your place. And the places that Bnei Yisrael were given at this point in time were very important, because we see that so many things are according to the way it is. Now we know, on a baseball team, literally speaking, we know that the teams need to have have a catcher, a pitcher, a second base, shortstop, and a center fielder. The spine. What we're interested in is in the spine of the person going down the middle, and everything emanates from the spine of the body, the heart, the brain, going right down the center of the human being. And that's what we have over here. If we see the way Bnei Yisrael and God is telling everybody to form their formation for marching, and of course it goes according to what Yaakov Avinu set forth when they carried his body to be buried in Me'oras Machpelah. But now Moshe is giving them their marching orders. And the marching orders are as follows. Very interestingly enough, the lead tribe that goes in the front is Shevet Yehuda. We might want to ask why in particular Shevet Yehuda. Well, obviously Shevet Yehuda was, it's not just that they were the most, they had the most people, and we were looking to have, but Shevet Yehuda was willing to be, we're talking about all the people who were willing to be Moser Nefesh. And who are those people that throughout history were willing to be Moser Nefesh? And that is, of course, Yehuda. But when Yehuda and Tamar, when Yehuda made the pronouncement, Tzadka Mimeni by Tamar, and he was willing to admit, and Vayehuda Shalach Kozos Lefanov Goshna, Yaakov sent ahead Yehuda to set up yeshiva, so to speak, centers of learning, so that they could all be ready when they get there to continue their Judaism, their Jewish life in Mitzrayim. So we know that Shevet Yehuda was very important, and in fact, as well, that we told that Nachshon ben Aminadab of Shevet Yehuda was the first one who jumped into the Yamsuf when they came to Kriyas Yamsuf. That goes to show you the makeup, the metal of Shevet Yehuda, and God chose them to be the leader in terms of being the forefront of the nation. And of course, who was the tribe that would bring up the rear? The tribe that would bring up the rear would be Dan. And that was simply because it was also another Shevet Dan was also being Mosen Nefesh, because it was Hushim ben Dan. There's certain Shvatim, there's certain children of Yaakov that stepped forward. Yehuda was the one who said the same thing when he came to Binyamin. He said, he said by Binyamin, Anochi Erevenu Miyadi Tavakshenu, Imlo Aviyotzi Veilecho Vachotosi Leavi Kol Hayomim, I will take responsibility and I will bring him back. He put his life on the line, and of course we know that Vayigash Elov Yehuda, and Yehuda was the one first, foremost, and center, taking the reins of leadership and always looking that way. And Yaakov recognized that. Moshe recognized that as well, understanding, of course, that Yaakov set forth and Yehuda, well, God was on league, the same thing, and Moshe recognized the same characteristics of Shevet Yehuda, because even Aaron was married to that Shevet, but nevertheless, he saw the same thing, the same characteristics of Shevet Yehuda. And next in line would be Shevet Dan. And Shevet Dan, Yaakov said, Yehi Dan nochosh alei derech shvifon alei orach, hanoshech ikvei sus vayipol roch bo'ovar. And when he said, L'shuotcho kivisi Hashem, what does Rashi tell us at that point in time? That's to tell us that Shimshon HaGibor would come from Machane Dan. But we also know that Hushim ben Dan, when Yaakov was being buried, and Bnei Esav, and Esav asked for to hold up the burial of Yaakov Avinu, he put, at that point in time, he tried to hold up the burial, and Hushim ben Dan, at all costs, and he just went ahead and doesn't look for any excuses, doesn't look for any reason. He just goes ahead and kills Esav. He is first and foremost, he understands the necessity when it's time to act. There are times to talk, and there are times that the time for talk is over. The time is for action. And Yehuda is that way. Shevet Dan is the same way. And that is why also Eliyahu ben Ahi Samach, when it came time to building the Mishkan, along with the Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, that also it came time, V'ito Eliyahu ben Ahi Samach L'mate Dan. L'mate Dan was also, and that is why Dan was Ma'asef L'chol HaMachanos, Yehi Dan Nochosh Alei Derech. I said that, Dan Yodin Amo, Ki Achad Shivtei Yisrael. God recognized that, Yaakov recognized that, and that is what we need. These were the people that were leaders who took in, and also his numbers grew. Next to Yehuda, he had was the most populous tribe, and they would felt responsible to take in all the strays, but also would be the most protective. And what is to protect the back and by Amalek is that when Amalek kol anachsholim acharecha, Don was there to take the brunt of the action at that point in time. When Amalek attacked, of course, it was the rear guard, and they attacked from behind. Vayezanei b'chol kol anachsholim acharecha v'yatoa yeh v'yogeah. It was not Mate Don who repelled the attack right away. And so Yehuda and Don are always in the forefront, in the middle of Shevet Levi. We could never, when, of course, obviously Shevet Levi, was when by the Maisa Ego, when Moshe came down from the mountain with the Luchos and said, Mila Shem Eli, B'nei Levi was the one that said, by Esfu Elov called B'nei Levi. They were, the whole Shevet Levi was on Moshe's side, and they took umbrage to the fact that Klal Yisrael were involved in it, and they stepped forward, and they were the only tribe that, down to a man, they came forward and were willing to put their life on the line. And that's where we see, so the three Shvatim that literally run the spine of Klal Yisrael are the rear guard, the forefront, and in the middle, protecting the Aron. And Shevet Levi has the most difficult job that we know when they have all these things. Shevet Levi is the most difficult job that they had because they were there to protect the Aron. Not that the Aron, so to speak, needs to protect it, but their main job was, besides carrying the Aron through the Midbar, Rigershon, Kahosu, Merari, all their physical jobs, carrying the Aron itself and all the Klei HaKodesh that go with it, but they had, because we see more than once in the Parsha, it says, V'hazor HaKorev, you must, that anybody that goes near the Aron and even touches it, and we see, of course, when we read the Haftorah not long ago by David HaMelech, when he was bringing the Aron back, and it was touched by one person, and of course he died, and that was an unfortunate situation, but it just comes to tell you, v'lo yavo liros es hakodesh kivalas hakodesh v'mesu, the parsha ends with this warning that B'nai Levi were given the task to make sure that the Aron, the people of Klal Yisrael who would want to get near it or make a mistake and just see it, it becomes, you know, you go into a museum and there are guards all around looking, but you see every once in a while you read in the paper that someone goes ahead and tries to get too close and they trigger an alarm. And the Shevet Levi, they didn't have all these new gadgets, certainly with the alarm systems that we would have today. But Shevet Levi had the job that was unbelievable to protect the Aron from people going near. They had to save the lives of all the other Jews. They had to surround it and make sure that nobody came close. And that is the important thing, that when they would march, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Yiso, when they rested and when they marched, there would be people who would perhaps want to get near the Aron. And also, this was now the beginning when we took the first census, Shevet Levi was included in the census. At this point in time, since Levi was taking over to the Chorim, Levi was not included in the census. Al kein lo hayolu Levi, chelik v'nachalo emechov, Hashem hu nachaloso. But their responsibility was a huge one. It's not that they're living off like people who work for the government that are living off the taxpayers. Here, these people are actually given the job of protecting their fellow man, literally protecting their fellow man for an untimely death. And that's why we mention in this parasha the death of Nadav and Avihu. The sad part of the parasha is when it gives the census and it says, V'ele shmos b'nei Aaron abchor Nadav, v'avihu elazor v'samar. But before that, it tells us the children of Moshe and Aaron, and it lists Nadav and Avihu and Elazar and Isamar, and it never even mentions the children of Moshe at all, and their Gershom and Eliezer. It doesn't even mention their names. It doesn't mention them once in the Parsha at all. You would think at least to mention them, but they weren't with Moshe at the time in the Midbar. So they never witnessed all of these things, and they had nothing to do with the whole 40 years in the Midbar. Mostly, we're not even sure at what point they came or left, but it's a sad part that Moshe literally was the biggest Moshe Nefesh, because I'm sure he had a great love for his two children, but we don't even find it. Basically, he gave all his leadership capabilities to Nadav and Avihu and Elazar and Isamar. And of course, Nadav and Avihu perished, and that had to, as much as it pained Aaron, it certainly pained Moshe as well. because obviously he took them under his wing when the Torah mentions to us that he gave birth to them. And of course, that's what we know, that somebody who teaches somebody else's children Torah, as we see all the people that teach Torah on this website, every day somebody else is teaching, and the people that we speak to possibly their friends, their children. The mitzvah grows and grows, and it's an untold amount of people that all these Torah websites that have and people that teach are having an effect on so many people of Bnei Yisrael, and we hope that all the things that we say are brought forth and given further to the next generation and the next generation. You teach your children, and they teach their children, and they give over the Torah. And, of course, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, that is our legacy for Moshe Rabbeinu. So, basically, God is concerned and he understands is Dan, Levi, and Yehuda were the three tribes that would lead Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, that we never see any problems with those tribes. Reuven was mentioned first, perhaps to give him a second chance to rise to the occasion, but he's not. Levi, on the other hand, we see they learned a lesson. And why was Levi brought, and up to this point, Levi was marching with in the midst of other people. Everybody was marching in one big collective form. No tribes were separated initially. They marched in between each person. Everybody was mixed. But basically now God is talking about the future, because when the Malach HaMavis will come in the future, the Chazal are telling us here, we're also a very interesting and unfortunate situation, because it would come time when we read Parshas Shlach and the Maaseh Meraglim, that all the people who were over 20 that would die, the Maaseh HaMidbar, that would have to die because of the Chet HaMeraglim, that the Malach HaMavis would not encounter Shevet Levi, so that Levi had to march separate, because they were not involved in Meraglim. Shevet Levi didn't send any spies into Eretz Israel, so they were not involved in the Chet HaMeraglim, and therefore Levi would be spared. But unfortunately, if the Malach HaMavis had to come down the same way that God told Bnei Israel to put the blood on the doorpost so that the Malach HaMavis would not go into the wrong house as a sign, he had to give Shevet Levi march their own separately around the Aron and protect the Aron itself, not be amongst the other people. And so that when the Malach HaMavis came to unfortunately take the lives of the Maaseh HaMidbar from the Meraglim, they would not be there. They would be totally separate. It's a very interesting and unfortunate thing, which raises a lot of questions in itself. But nevertheless, that's what we're looking forward to as they go ahead and march. And this raises their level of, they see now the future. They're about to march into the land of Eretz Israel. The flags are flying. And, of course, we see next week. And that is why when we get to next week's parsha and the beginning of Halosko, when Moshe says, Nosim anachnu el amakom, they are reaching the pinnacle of their future. They see they're about to go into the land of Eretz Israel, but it does not take much to upset the apple cart, to change history. It only takes a little going off the road, going off the derech a little bit. May we all follow the middle road, the Shevet Dan, the lessons of Shevet Dan that was Ma'asev L'chol HaMachanos, but keeping the line right through Dan, through Levi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resting in the Aron, the Shekhinah, and Shevet Yehuda, who's the spear carrier, literally and figuratively speaking, the Yehuda Sholach Kozos Lefanov Goshna, is Shevet Yehuda that leads us towards the Malchus of Malchus Beis David and the eventual Mashiach. Let us follow in the footsteps of Yehuda and Malchus Beis David so that the Gula Shleima should come in our days. Have a good evening. Thank you very much.